Gosh, you guys look gorgeous today. Oh my goodness. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, not beautiful, we're gonna change it up. It's 2019 now. Tell them, you look gorgeous today. There we go. That's a new one. All right. Very good. Well, somebody's having too much fun with that. Man, it feels like I haven't seen you since like a year ago. In fact, last time I see you, it was like a year younger. And it is all true. It is all true. It's good to see you guys. How are you today? Good. Margie, did you find your trench coat?
Yes.
You did. Oh, my goodness. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Good. And we haven't even started yet. I want to thank the worship team. It is such an important part of what we do here, to worship. And we couldn't do it without them. So team, worship team, I like to sing all the different ages there. Thank you for leading us in those sacred and special moments. Our music, our children's ministries. Today I had so much fun walking throughout the classes. The kindergarten class, I was probably annoying Loretta because she kept seeing my face popping in through the window. But I just love seeing those children smiling and engaging and participating. And it is fantastic, and it brings joy to my heart. The youth class, wrestling with some very difficult questions. Why do awful things sometimes happen to people who don't seem to deserve them? Don't you guys want to wish you were in the Sabbath, in the youth Sabbath school sometimes? So I thank David and Linda for leading out in that, and it is good to be here. So today, on paper, it is probably one of the shortest messages I've ever prepared, so you already know it's going to be a good day. And from here, I need to run across to the other city, to Virginia Beach. But I wanted to spend a few moments together. And today's message is actually extremely simple. Over the last several days, we've been on this journey. Maybe you have been along, maybe you haven't. Today is a great day to start on this journey of renewal, renewal of our minds, of our spirit, of our outlook of lives, of no longer settling for some of the patterns in our lives that make us heavy and take away the joy of our lives, and allowing God to renew that joy and desire to live in our lives for something bigger and higher than ourselves. And it has been truly amazing. Truth be told, on Thursday, I was thinking back on something that happened last Saturday, and it felt like it had been a month. This week has been intense. Anybody else had an intense week? Yes? No? Yeah. What week is not intense, Loretta, right? Which week isn't intense? That's right. But this week, it was probably one of the most intense weeks of my life, from viewings to funerals to planning sessions to starting a new year. And I think that it is because of this journey that we're on that I actually, in spite of all that, experienced enormous, gigantic doses of joy. And I was telling Cindy, you know, I should be exhausted and bitter and angry and stressed. I have a big Sabbath ahead. And yet, I've experienced joys like a few times in my life before. So I invite you to join us on this journey. If you haven't yet, we've been getting together each day. Some of us at 6 a.m. on Facebook, you joining at whatever time you want. Some of you posted at night before you go to sleep. I like seeing that at like 11 o'clock or so. It is just fantastic. So if you want to be on the loop, I won't talk about it much more because we're consuming precious time. All of a sudden, the shortest message is getting long on the front end. But you can text the word renewed. You can see it there on the screen, very little. Renewed to 757-574-0879. Renewed to 757-574-0879. If not, I have a card for you. Just ask me for the card before you leave, and you can join this challenge, and you'll get a text message reminder each day of where you can connect. So, what do we talk about? Well, we already talked about the renewed in 21 day. I've been here for now 3 years. Did you know that for me, that's like a world record? Most churches get rid of me like right around year two. And I'm 33 this year, so I'm getting a little concerned. I hope that in one area of my life, I do better than Jesus and I outlive my 33rd year. We've been doing this New Year's sermons for quite a while. And this is my first sermon of the year here. And I wanted to talk about resolutions, but that is so cliche and so boring. And yet at the same time, it is So I was scrolling through my Facebook post, and somebody posted an article about why we fail when it comes to New Year resolutions. And many times it says that our resolutions are unclear, and because they are unclear, we get frustrated, and because we get frustrated, we then don't follow through, and then we just give up. And one of my good friends, his name is Walter Castro, he put up that our resolution should be simple, measurable, they should be shared, and we should celebrate. So if you say you want to lose 50 pounds in 1 year, that's pretty big. Why not make it simple and small? Say, I don't want to lose 50 pounds this year. I want to lose 2 pounds this week, and then 2 pounds next week. And I kept fetching that, and that's about as far as it got. So make it simple. Share them with somebody to help you stay accountable. But that's not really a message, and you can find that online. And yet people still fail. Only about 8% of people follow through on their resolution. So all you gym goers who paid your membership, don't worry. February is coming, and you'll have the gym back to yourself again, you'll be happy. But what about everybody else? So I kept strolling through my Facebook, I saw this, and it raised all sorts of questions, like, what? Because there's this guy jumping on my screen, and it looks really iffy, so what is this? And then I started having all sorts of questions like, why? Why would someone do something like this? And even more important, why am I watching this? Ridiculous, because it's been like 30 seconds and I'm still looking at this guy. And then I see that he's wearing a T-Mobile hat. And all of a sudden I had all this epiphany. It's like, that's why I'm getting so many drop calls each month. Now that makes sense. Look where this is coming from. Because I learned that this is John Lee Gray. He is the CEO of T-Mobile. And now it all makes sense to you as well why you're getting so many drop calls. How many T-Mobile users here? I'm alone? Oh, yeah. Free Tuesdays, right? Getting free stuff on Tuesday? Because who shouldn't get something free on Tuesday? But anyways, this is a guy, the CEO of T-Mobile. And he posted... after this weird video where he's teaching to cook in an apron. That's an apron. That's not his body. That's an apron. And I was highly relieved when I noticed that. He posted this. And he was talking about New Year resolutions. And he said this. My New Year's resolution philosophy is simple. The more you set, the better chances that ones hold true at the end of the year. So the more New Year resolutions you have, the more chances are that one will stick. What do you think about that? I think so many of us approach our lives this way. And perhaps the more we do and the more things we set out to do, maybe we'll accomplish one and we'll be okay. And yet, so many people that I encounter with are just exhausted. And I don't know when it has become a thing, when it has become... something like highly respected and a virtue to just be exhausted by how much we work. And I think a lot of it comes from this mentality. You know, maybe if I can try to do as many things as possible, maybe one will hold. And then I saw this by The Atlantic, and I have never quoted The Atlantic before, and I don't think I ever will again. But this stuck out for me, and it was profound. And it was doing a study about Cigna and Target, how they ramp up their marketing right at this time of the year in terms of health. And this is what they said. What these companies are out to do, their marketing strategy is this: influence consumer behavior by reminding you that it's a new year and you're still the same imperfect person you have always been. So then you go and you set out to do all these things. And maybe you set out to say, well, this year I'm going to fix myself. And maybe if I propose like 50 different things that I'm going to change about myself, maybe it is going to work. And yet so many of us end up exhausted and tired. So today I want to look at another story. There was a podcast that I heard about a year ago, and it became real last September. And it's focusing on a story on the Bible because I think there is a better way that we could approach this. And there's a story in the Bible in Luke chapter 4 that I want to invite you to follow along. Luke chapter 4. And it's an extremely simple story, but I think it can provide us for a different way to approach these seasons in our life, this beginning of years, and how we can renew ourselves in our capacity. So Luke chapter 4, I'm going to pray real quick, and then we'll get right into the story. Our Heavenly Father, Thank you for new beginnings, new years, birthdays, celebration, friends, and the chance that we have to share these moments together. And as we spend time with you and spend time with people whom we love, we just invite that your presence will be felt, that you will be real to us, and that we will live here ever more ready to be renewed by you, to say yes to the goodness that flows from you to us and through us today and every day. In spite of this flawed and defective vessel you have chosen, this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 4, I invite you to follow along. So Jesus is starting his ministry, and we're going to call this one, Say Yes to the One with the Why. That's what we're going to call this one. And Jesus is setting out, it's the early stages of his ministry, and he has gone into a synagogue, kind of like a church, and he was expected to read out of a book because most men of a certain age were expected to do that, and it was his turn, and he reads these verses from the prophet, and it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, and he has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recover the sight of the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he rolled up the roof, and he says that this is about me. This is the way Jesus starts the story. But then he goes out, and people start having all sorts of questions about this Jesus. He reads these verses, and then he says, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. And then they ask a very important question. Isn't this Joseph's son, they asked? Isn't this the son of Joseph and Mary? And then Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. And you will tell me, do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. Truly I tell you, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his own town. So Jesus comes, and he makes this grand claim about himself, but the people have an issue. The people say, oh, we know who you are, Jesus. Aren't you the son of Joseph? We know what to expect from you. Because many times people have expectations about us because they know who we are, right? Oh, we know who you are. Yeah, that big dream you have, yeah, that's not for you. That's for other people, right? Or that lofty dream or that entrepreneur dream that you have for this year, yeah, we know who you are. You're kind of like a blue-collar type of person, I think. Oh, really? That's what you're shooting for? Oh, we know your mom and dad. And all of a sudden, people begin to have all these expectations about who we are. And many times, we miss out on our dreams or the why behind our lives because of these expectations. And Jesus proclaims this good news, and people say, oh no, Jesus, we know who you are. We're not concerned. We got you. You're just another poor guy from Nazareth, and nothing good comes out of there. And that's the only expectation we have for you. Many times, people will limit our dreams and our goals because of the expectations they have upon us. But then something interesting happens, because he leaves there, and he goes, and he starts doing all these things, and he goes and starts driving out demons, and he starts doing all these wonders. And we're going to pick up the story in verse 38 again. So he went out and he drove out some bad spirits, and he went and helped some people. And then verse 38 picks up the story and says, now Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So all of a sudden, they had all these expectations about what Jesus couldn't do. And now there's a whole other group of people that has all these expectations of what Jesus could do. So Jesus, come help us. We expect that you can help us. So he bent over her, and he rebuked the fever, and it left her. So she got up and began to wait on them. So this raises a whole other set of questions. Like, how in the world do you rebuke a fever? You bad fever, get out of here. I don't know how he did it. But it says that Jesus rebuked the fever, and this fever left him, and now Simon's mother-in-law begins to wait for them. Like, what kind of food was she waiting? Was it like American food, mashed potatoes and gravy, or more Mediterranean style? But it says that they expected Jesus to help. He went and he helped them, and he rebuked that fever, and he says, take that, you fever, and the fever goes away, and the story continues. Verse 40 now. Verse 40 says, and then at sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them, and he rebuked their illness, their sickness. Sorry about that. And moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God," but he rebuked them, and he would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. So he came and he healed Simon's mom. Now all these people come and ask for him to heal them, and he rebukes their sickness, and it's like, take that, Big Pharma, and take that, Obamacare, you know. Jesus is in town, and he's going to rebuke all these things, and people keep coming back and having this expectation that Jesus would heal them, and he heals them, and he sends out the demons. And then chapter 4, verse 42, the story continues. And at daybreak, now Jesus, I guess, had enough. He went out to a solitary place, and the people were looking for him. And when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Did you see what happens there? Jesus came, he spent a few days in the town. People came and had this expectation that Jesus would heal them. And he starts healing people, Simon's mom, and then all these people from the multitudes. And now Jesus leaves. And all these people come back to Jesus because they have a set of expectations for Jesus. And they try to beg him to stay and heal them. And you know that in that crowd, there were a bunch of guilt trippers, right? Jesus, you heal so-and-so, you ought to heal me. Jesus, you heal Simon's mother-in-law, thank you for not healing his minds. I'm just kidding. Jesus, if you did this to them, why shouldn't you do it to me? Jesus, you're bringing healing to the city. You cannot leave now. And all these people had all these expectations about Jesus. But Jesus says something very simple. He says, "No, I have to leave." And he said, "I must proclaim the goodness of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because this is why I was sent." You see, people will always have expectations for you. They will always expect things that you cannot do, like in the previous thing in the synagogue, Jesus, we know who you are. You're the son of Joseph. We don't expect you to do. Our expectations are that you will not do this. And then people will have all these other expectations about all the things that you should do. And then you will have all your own expectations of what you should be doing. Maybe this year, I need to better myself in these ways. But the interesting thing is that clarity comes from knowing your why. Jesus said, "No, I will not stay here. And I know your expectation is that I will stay here and I will heal all these people." But he says, "I know why I was sent. I know my why. And now I must go." How many of the things that we do are because of these expectations? How many things do we do because of guilt? Well, if I don't do this, I'll feel bad about it. How many things in our daily lives do we do because of fear? Or how many things do we do because others expect us to do that? One of the most painful conversations I have had with grown people, many of them my age or older, people who studied a career because their parents expected them to do that. So many things that we do because others expect us to do them. How many things do we do just because we've always done them? Organizations, churches, we're very good at doing that. Well, we've done this last year, so we have to do it again this year. I mean, this is a tradition. This is a family tradition. This is a church tradition. This is a cool school tradition. How many things do we do because we've done them? How many habits have we developed because of fear? How many hours have we worked overtime because maybe it's not enough? How many times we have said yes to work that was assigned to us that we could have said no, but we thought if we said no, our boss or our coworkers would think that we're wimpy and maybe that we cannot take this responsibility and they would think less of us and maybe they wouldn't promote us because of all these things. And how much of our lives is measured by expectations? And maybe when we feel that way, we set out to do what Jen LeGray tried to do. We just set out all these resolutions because maybe one will stick and we will be happy. But clarity comes when the things we do come from clearly understanding why we were sent. And it comes not out of fear that we're not good enough, but the realization that our life is a gift and we are here for a reason and there's something to this world that only you can contribute. And when you know what that is, true clarity comes to life. Last September, my life changed quite, I don't want to say dramatically, because that's very, very unfair to other people who have experienced truly dramatic things in their lives, like facing illnesses or challenges. But my life changed in a very significant way, especially talking about this, like your load. There was a time where I used to pastor this very happy church that was very loving and very fun. You guys might know it. I think it was this one, yeah. And I had done that for about 2.5 years. And I had 2 children. None of them went to school. So basically, what I set out to do with this little church kind of ruled my life. And I had some dominion over that. And I managed to keep myself quite busy because I do think that work is a virtue. Not slavery. I don't think slavery is a virtue. And I battle with that quite often. Where is the line? My line is pretty thick, and I'm working on making it a little less thick. But slavery is not a virtue, but work is. And September of last year came about, and all of a sudden, things changed quite drastically because I was asked to pick up another church that it's a little bigger than this church, has way more programs than this church. All of a sudden, I was doing about 70% in addition to what I was doing before. And about 2 weeks later, my son starts going to school. And that adds a whole other calendar that we need to synchronize. And the following week, my wife starts working again after not being working for about 5 years. And somebody told us it's just going to be Fridays and occasional subbing, which came to be about 3 times a week for many weeks from September till now. Thank you, Miss Loretta Chalk. And all of a sudden, things got overwhelming. And you know that back in November, I took a week off and I went up north to the mountains because I was honestly overwhelmed. And it was just too much. But through that, it has helped me to do a very good exercise. And that is to ask myself, like, the really hard questions, what it is that I'm supposed to be really doing here? Why am I here? And the interesting thing is, that as I get closer to asking that question and saying yes to that question, the more I say yes to the one and the one who gives me my why, then the more I can say no to other things without feeling guilty, without being afraid, without having to live up to expectations that other people might have of me. I remember sometime last year, and the person who did this podcast shared the very same exact story, and it resonated so strongly with me because the same exact thing happened to me. Sometime last year, I was asked to go to this like fundraiser dinner because somebody had a lot of passion for that, and they had reserved a table, and they wanted me to be there, so I went, and I remember sitting there and being, in a way, resentful because I was there because somebody expected me to be there, but that wasn't my why. And I'm so glad that somebody has that why. I am so glad that somebody needs to do those things, because if it wasn't for that, some people wouldn't receive the care and the love that they need. But that wasn't why I was here. And I was resentful because I felt like I was doing something that I should have said no, but I had said yes. And the truth is that the more I learn to say yes to the one thing, to the one person, and the one thing that holds my why, and the one person that knows what I am here to do, the easier it becomes to say no to all other things. And this is the amazing thing that has happened since. The more I say why to my yes,
the more joy I have experienced. Because all of a sudden, in the things that I invest my energies in, I find pure joy. I'm not saying that I'm working less. Believe me, sometimes it's a lot. But because I am saying yes to the things that I should be saying yes to, I find far more satisfaction in them than just meeting everybody else's expectations. And it's been powerful. And it's had new meaning to my life. And it's renewed my desire, my drive, in I think a far healthier way. And I have experienced joy. Joy like never before. And I thought you should know that. And I thought I should share that with you. Because I think many of us are very busy in this world. And many of us are saying yes to a lot of things that maybe nobody ever asked us to say yes. A lot of us maybe are living out expectations that others had for us. A lot of us are saying yes to things that come out from fear. A lot of yes are doing things just because we were doing them 10 years ago. And maybe those things were, again, this guy loves to say this, I love it. Some things were good for a reason and for a season. There was a time where we were supposed to be doing those things, and maybe today we don't have to do those things anymore. And today's a new day, a new year, and maybe today we can begin to say yes to the one so we can say no to all the other things. Maybe there are habits that we have picked up, and the more you say yes to the one, the easier it is to say no to all those other things. And here's the really good news. And I'm taking this a little bit grossly out of context. Well, not really, actually, but it's really powerful. But Jesus said this then to his disciples. Peace be with you, because as the Father sent me, I am sending you. Jesus' clarity of why. Jesus' lack of fear for not people fulfilling people's expectations came from knowing his why. He says, I know why I was sent here. And I can leave this. And I know I haven't healed anyone, but I know I was. And he says, the same type of clarity I can give to you because I am sending you. You were placed in this planet. The gift of you was placed here on planet Earth because there is something that only you can bring to this world. And if you said yes to the person who placed you here, and if you say yes to the why that he wants to give your life, it says, peace will be with you. Joy will be with you. Renewal will be with you. You can have the same clarity that Jesus had. So maybe this year, instead of doing just another thing, this year, instead of like John Lee Gray adding as many New Year resolutions as we possibly can, instead of doing more, perhaps maybe this year we can focus more on the one thing. Maybe today you need permission to say no to certain things that you've been carrying on forever. But in order to say no, have to say yes first. In order to be able to say no without a guilty conscience, in order to say no without fear, in order to say no without worrying about what other people think, you have to say yes. So repeat after me. I have permission to say no. I have permission to say no. When I say yes to the one. Because you have permission to say no. When you say yes to the one. And when we say yes to the one, he will renew us. He will renew our joy. He will renew our desire to live, to work hard, to invest our energies. He will renew the happiness in our lives. He will renew our drive, our joy, because that's what he does. But in order to be able to say no to all these other things, we have to learn to say yes to the one. So I pray that this year, you too will say yes to the one. And as promised, that is the shortest message I have ever delivered at RGF. Peace.
It's a good message. But case in point to his shortness, I weren't even ready, so. Always full of surprises, that Esposito of ours. So our closing song today is very much in line with the theme of renewal that we've been talking about and having the morning sessions. And seriously, you guys, don't forget, if you If you forgot the number or you just want a little reminder, sometimes you all need reminders, grab one of these things here before you go. We've got a good, what did I say, the 12th? 12th? So January 26th minus 12. We've got a ton of time left on these sessions. Join in. Get the reminders. They're helpful. It's a great time. It's good to hear other people's stories and experience, isn't it? I feel like when you talk to someone, when they open up and they share, it's like a gift. They've lived whatever they're sharing, and you just got it for free. Take that and run with it. Would you also, unlike some of our closing songs, we're going to ask you guys to get out of your chairs again. We're going to sing this one together.
He loves making all things new. You're working it all for good. For the things of this world, there is hope renewed in the life that is found in you. You make all things new. Changing this hope, never failing, hallelujah.
Beautiful.
My faith is in things unseen.
Thank you.
time.
It's you make all things new. You make all things new. Yesterday and forever alive. Never changing is hope. Never failing.
God, as we go our separate ways, as we dart out of here, maybe with conversation and friends, or maybe we go home, maybe we go and see a loved one that needs some help. We go out new people, because you've already started something in us, and it's said in a very reliable source that him who started something good in us will be faithful to finish it. You're already making us new, and we cannot wait to come back together again next Sabbath to see what God and you have done in our life. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. See you next week.